The Quintessential Podcast is proud to announce that we have a new presenting sponsor, Axia Time. Axia Time is a really cool watch company focused on ultra-custom watches to commemorate life's greatest accomplishments. Watches whose styling and quality match the significance of the accomplishments they represent. Axia Time is also partnered with all the leading lacrosse organizations to create All-American timepieces for high school boys and girls and college men and women. Axia Time even creates timepieces for elite awards like the Tourton and Naismith. If you're interested in a high-quality, Swiss-made timepiece to commemorate a great accomplishment, you need to check out their designs at axiatime.com. That's axiatime.com. If you're celebrating a team achievement, like a state championship, national championship, or even world championship, you have to check out the timepieces they created for teams like Jesuit Dallas, the University of Maryland, and even the USA U21 World Champions. Hi, everybody, and welcome to the Quintessential Podcast. Quinn Kesnick this week in Maryland, getting ready for Thanksgiving holiday, and we're joined by Kevin Connery, the head coach of the Michigan Wolverines. Had a breakthrough season, a 10-win season last year. First Big Ten championship, NCAA appearance. Just a huge year all around. Coach, glad to have you on. How you been?
I've been great. Thanks for having me.
What has it been like? You know, I sense you guys were close for years, and you got over the hump. You won some key games in that Big Ten tournament. You beat Ohio State twice. You beat Penn State in a real high-scoring, entertaining game. And then you throttled down Michigan to win the league champion. You throttled down Maryland to win the league championship 14-5 in what became really a one-sided game. And you guys rolled into the tournament. What do you think happened to turn the corner?
That's a really interesting question. I think there are several different factors that helped us make the jump. And I don't think we make the jump unless we, have some falls, right? So, I think losing to Penn State in the first one, where we dropped the game, where we were up, in the fourth quarter and we let it slip away. You know, dropping the Hopkins game, where we also felt like we were competing at a high level, but silly turnovers and self-inflicted wounds really caused us to let that game slip away. You know, we could go there and look at those faults and say, yeah, we're so close here, but we're so close there. But it doesn't really, the catalyst was really, we could look back to the first Maryland win, where we had a really great opportunity to take away and run away with the game in the third quarter. So we had the right mix of both adversity and success in order to make a run. And there was a pivotal, we were sitting there in the locker room at 5-6, ready to play Ohio State the first time around. And we had an incredible Zoom call with John Beilein. John Beilein's former basketball coach here for many years and one of my coaching idols. And he brought that right up. He said, you guys, if you guys were just dropping games like this and shooting yourselves in the foot and getting blown out, you wouldn't be ready for this moment. But you've had the right mix of adversity and success in order to make a run. And it really just resonated with our guys to say, like, hey, it gave us an influx of confidence to say, we're right here. Why can't we do it? Why not us? It's time. Like we've matured through the whole season in order to make this big push. And then we had a 5-game win streak and it was great.
Yeah, that ability to take setbacks. Last week I was at Clemson talking to their quarterback, Cade Klubnik. They've lost 4 games this year, Clemson football has, which is below their typical standard. But in talking to him, I was amazed at his attitude. He said a similar thing, Coach. He said, at 5-4, I'm a better leader, and I'll be a better quarterback because of it. In terms of them, they could have been 8-1 or 9-0, and he wouldn't have learned those lessons. So failing is not the worst thing in the world, as long as you're learning from those failings. And that's kind of a Nick Saban quote that he gave us. Don't waste a failing. Is one of his standards. So it sounds like you guys were learning lessons all the way through, whether it was last year, getting off to the good start back in 2022 and not the great ending. And then this year kind of beating Maryland on April 1st and still having a lot of good ball ahead of you in the month of May.
Yeah, that's for sure. I mean, I think the previous teams weren't mature enough to handle the success and the failures at the same times, right? So there had been seasons where, you know, early on when we first got it, you know, we beat Notre Dame in a good match, but we couldn't take momentum for it, you know. And you know, we started off 7-0 in 2022. Now our schedule was just okay realistically, but we couldn't compete and carry that momentum into some Big Ten play after a little bit of adversity. So you know, that it was the maturity of the group, you know, when we were able to have a group of graduate students, seniors, and juniors who have played a lot of lacrosse that could take those lessons and that adversity and that failure, mix it together for momentum. It does matter, you know, when you have mature players on your roster.
We're talking right now in the middle of November, college football, regular season coming to a close. There's 2 weeks of the regular season to go. Everybody in college football staring at this Ohio State, Michigan, the looming battle on November 25th at noon. You live in that world. Tell us about Michigan lacrosse in terms of that rivalry game, whether it's visits, donors and boosters, alums. How do you keep everybody happy?
Yeah, that's interesting. You can't keep everybody happy, right? Ultimately, you know, I think we're really excited about the weekend coming up. You know, next weekend, obviously, Michigan has a big game down at the University of Maryland first. They got to take care of that, and that'll square them up for a big rivalry game coming down here. It's an exciting atmosphere here on campus where we still get a lot of our donors, a lot of our alumni come back, and we just celebrate athletics. That's what it is. We celebrate athletics. It's not celebrating football. It's not celebrating lacrosse. It's celebrating athletics as a whole, where we can all come together and, you know, appreciate the Block M for all its splendor.
You know, when I was in high school, I went on two recruiting trips, both for my senior year, my senior fall in September before our football season kicked in. We had a scrimmage. I flew down to Virginia. Later on, I took a visit to Hopkins in January of my senior year during J term. But if I were a high school recruit right now, Michigan would be on my list to make a school visit on Saturday, November 25th, to be on the sideline of that game, Coach. How do you manage that?
Well, the NCAA is kind of taking care of that for us. Honestly, it's a dead period because it's Thanksgiving holiday. Thanksgiving holiday is a recruiting dead period.
Wow.
So So it does take the biggest, you know, kind of game away from us, but the 25th is a recruiting dead period.
Wow. Yeah. So you can service your alums and your boosters and your donors better that weekend than recruits, I would guess.
Now we still have a lot of people coming into town, opportunity to sit down with some alums, some recent alums, and just celebrate, you know, obviously the past successes, and then bringing back some of the older guys and even the club guys who are really excited about the Division I progress that we're making. So it's a lot of fun the whole week in general here in kind of the Metro Detroit area, where you have the Thanksgiving Detroit Lions game, you know, which is always kind of a sell, you know, it's just an awesome way to kick off the holiday. And then it bleeds right into Saturday with tailgating atmosphere, seeing a lot of friends. It's a lot of fun.
Chris Spielman is a friend of mine. He's involved in the front office of the Lions. Got some lacrosse now in his blood with his brother's kids. He's a Buckeye, so he's probably not going to cut you any favors in terms of getting you tickets, but they've really done a nice job, you know, resurrecting that franchise.
It's been cool. The whole city, the whole town, the whole state, they feed off of that energy. I mean, it's exciting to be around, Michigan sports in general here.
Yeah. And that downtown Detroit area is certainly, a renaissance, in terms of turning those neighborhoods around. Going back to last year, before we spin things forward, the win against Cornell at Cornell, again, another high scoring, entertaining game, Coach. What was it like to be a part of that?
That was awesome. It was awesome. It was just one of those games that I'll always remember, I won't remember plays. I won't remember, but you can remember just to feel it. That was a big boy, physical, back and forth, heavily contested, great competition. And what was the coolest part about it is that our guys never wavered, never panicked, never kind of got caught up in the moment. It was just, we're out here. I feel like the more that we can just play brands of lacrosse like that, where it's just physical, the penalties, the flag stayed in the pockets, the guys got after it. It really fed that competitive spirit and what our sport is supposed to be like. It was so much fun to be part of that game. And when we scored that game-winning goal and watched a kid from Grand Rapids, Michigan, assist a kid from Ann Arbor, Michigan, I think it just speaks to not only where this program's gone, but also the growth of the game, and see success from a whole geographical point.
I think it's without a doubt the Michigan label, the Michigan brand name, having Michigan successful in lacrosse is good for the sport as a whole. And so your appearance in the quarterfinals, albeit a loss to Duke up in Albany, it was a big day for the sport, quite honestly, from where I sit. And so I know that game didn't go your way. What were your takeaways? What were the lessons? What were some of the memories from the end of the run?
Yeah, you know, I think you got to give Duke a lot of credit. They were certainly a group that was hungry, and they came into the group and came into that game, and they just they set a tone that we couldn't match, and we just weren't ready to win that game, right? We just weren't ready, you know. But it gave us, you know, every step that we took, it was another, you know, roadmap, right? So taken away from it, we said, you know, we had to say goodbye to some incredible legacies here, like the Bryce Clays, you know, and guys of that nature, Andrew Darby's, Nick Rowlett's, who gave so much for this program. But what it did, it inspired the Jack Whitney's, Isaac Aronson, Mikey Bames, Justin Wheatfields of the world to say, okay, that's the next step. We had to see it to believe it. And so that really has been an influx into what we've been doing from when we arrived back here on campus.
Okay, take me forward. How you want to do this? I've got questions about schedule, freshmen, transfers, notable transfers, and then some of your returning talent. Let's start with transfers, because you did quite well, and it seems like the school is offering some academic programs that are very attractive. Bringing three gentlemen from Princeton, correct? Cathal Roberts, Christian Ronda, and Bo Pettersson. Is that accurate?
Yeah, it's actually pronounced Cahal.
Cahal. Cahal
Roberts. Yeah, it's almost like you got something stuck in your throat. Cahal Roberts. And then we added those three guys, and then we added two Patriot League guys, and Andrew Stanzel from Bucknell and Justin Tiernan from Lehigh. So the five guys there, and then Ryan Schreiber, who stayed on. He's working his way back from injury, but those will be six graduate students that we have here on the roster.
What program are they involved with, or are they different programs?
We have different programs. We have a master's in management here. Masters of Management here through the Ross School of Business, which is very popular. We have a real estate program that's really popular. And Christian's a genius. He's in something that I couldn't even explain it to you.
Is he really? He's a very, very good player, coach. His ability to get to both hands is notable. His quickness, he can pass, he can shoot. He's a very good midfielder. And then Bo Pettersson may be one of the best shorties in the country.
He's, you know, Bo has set another standard here for what we call our bricklayers, right? Those are our short stick D middies. The physicality he brings to the table, his versatility, and then just his influence on the guys. One of the things that's nice about all of the transfers that we brought in, they had leadership roles at their former schools, whether they be captains or just in a leadership position. I think it's really important when we brought these guys in, we wanted to bring in experience and leadership qualities to not necessarily take over, but really just insert and plug in some holes where we could use it. And right now, I think we're seeing the benefit of that as we hit the end of 8 hours here.
Mikey Bame, 73 points last year. Ryan Cohen, 57 points. Bame, I don't think, gets the respect nationally that he deserves. How would you best describe what he's meant to the program, or what his production, or just his impact? He seems like he's a scrapper, a fighter, and a worker.
Michael is, I agree with you. I don't think he gets the respect nationally. Right. And obviously he started to get a little bit more accolades last year, but ultimately what he does for this program goes far beyond points. Right. And the best way I can describe Michael is he's the guy who carries the balls on and off the field every day as a senior, as a captain, as a guy who is out there pretty much almost every day, shooting extra, doing extra workouts, doing something else. He is, he's a pure leader, and the guys really respect him. And he's one of a few guys that have really carried the load of leadership for this program this year.
Justin Wheatfield back facing off was, I believe, 60% last year. You had Rowlett, you had Wheatfield, you had kind of a luxury there. Is Justin being pushed by any youngsters?
yeah, we've got a couple of youngsters who can go ahead and mix it up for him, but this is going to be Justin's show this year. You know, he's been kind of the, he was a support guy early, and then he was a, hey, let's do it together with him and Nick, and now it's his show. So we're anticipating him to have a, you know, a nice breakout year. The numbers were great, but we feel like we can use him in a lot of different ways, not just say, hey, go get the ball. He's really athletic and skilled. And so, you know, it really opens up Coach Beta's creativity.
Between the pipes, it was Shane Carr, then it was Hunter Taylor. I think both are back on the roster. Is that accurate?
Yeah, both are back on the roster competing. Right now, Taylor, probably the way he finished and the way he's playing fall ball, he's really kind of become comfortable in the role as the starting goaltender. And then Shane is pushing him every single day. And it's really nice to have the luxury of two starters on your roster. When, you know, when and if something happens and we have to go in a different direction, we have a guy that who has seen a lot of great minutes. But ultimately, I think we're settling in on Hunter and what he's doing for us.
Yeah, you know, I like their body language, seeing them and their interactions with each other. I think at times when you have a 1-2 goalie situation, it can be uncomfortable. Those two seem like it's making them better, and they appear on the outside to be good teammates to one another. You tell me if I'm wrong. Like, how do they manage that?
Great teammates. They're great teammates. They push each other. They coach each other. They help each other. You know, and I think both of them have come off the field and say, hey, you got to put the other guy in at one point last year. And even that kind of realization is like, hey, you know, they're here for the team, you know. But I think right now where it's all about, you know, both are pushing each other to a point to be the best goaltender they can be. And
that's what I sense, Coach. Sorry to jump on you there. Who are the primary faces we expect to see at defense?
Well, you got Cajal and you got Stanzel, okay, who are two guys that I feel we brought in to help us kind of build our back line up a little bit. You know, I think Jack Whitney has been a starter here since early on in his career, since freshman year, really coming into his own, really athletic, a guy that I like. And then Case Van Wees has been a starter last year. So we have a bunch of guys that are either going to play close or pull. So we're going to just take our, you know, five best pulls and rotate them around a little bit. The one guy that we're excited about is Rowan Clay as a freshman. He adds another dynamic, can play up top, can play down low. So those are guys that I think are going to be really helpful in our back line.
When I read some of the feedback from this podcast and I talk to coaches, the fans always want to know, Quint didn't really ask them about the freshmen. Well, I don't want to put you in a difficult situation. Obviously, they're just freshmen. You've just seen them during the fall. Yeah. Are there any that you're comfortable talking about as guys who may be clamoring or fighting their way into the 2D?
Yeah, you know, I think right off the bat, you got to talk about Rowan. I think he has made the most jump. I think right now, you know, the freshman class is one that we're really, really high on, really high on. It's a really talented freshman class from top to bottom. There's future stars and All-Americans here in terms of what they can be. I think for right now, you know, for the majority of these guys, this is going to be a year where they may see some time, but ultimately it's going to be an amazing developmental year for a lot of these guys because they have such great leaders and guys like Mikey Boehm in front of them, where they can watch, learn how well he prepares Monday through Friday. And that's really going to be the catalyst for their breakout seasons down the road.
And that's when you know you have a great program. You have an elite program.
Yes. It's actually the first year we are not starting a host of freshmen.
What is, Coach, I logged on the website. The schedule's not up. What can you tell us at this point in terms of your non-Big Ten schedule?
It's going to look a little similar to last year. We've added some challenging games, you know, some midweekers that I think are going to be great. You know, we are going to do a schedule release coming out and as soon as the Big Ten allows us, they usually send us a, hey, you can release the schedule now.
When is that usually? What is that, December or January thing?
It's probably the end of November. Normally we try to get it out. Yeah.
So you're playing Virginia again.
We are going to play Virginia again. We're going to go back. Yeah. So just a little tidbit on that one. Give you a little taste of that one.
I saw that one on a list that I was sent of some games. But no, that was honestly that was a game that you added last year, correct?
Yeah, we added it last year.
Yeah.
Yeah. We did.
And you didn't win, but you know what? In my eyes, that was like that's a big game because you test yourself severely and the guys got a taste. And I got to tell you, when you ramp up the schedule like that, it paid dividends.
I think when you look at it, we were in position. We had one of the toughest schedules last year. I think at the end of it, the strength of schedule was somewhere in the top five. So we wanted to go out there and challenge us. Coming off of 2022, we were still in a budget crisis coming off of COVID. So we needed to go ahead and play home and conservatively. So we didn't have a lot of options for home games. But now we will open it up last year, and we're going to continue the trend of playing as competitive as possible of a schedule. And the guys just want to play big games. And, and I think opening the season up with Virginia tested us. It showed us where we were and really highlighted a lot of mistakes that we needed to clean up in order to get to Big Ten play.
But it also showed that you guys could score.
Yeah.
You scored in that game.
We did score in that game. Yeah. Yes, we did score in that game in multiple different ways. Transition, 6-on-6. It was certainly a display that, we are for real, and we are a Big Ten program and ready to compete on the national stage.
So camp opens up in January. How do you approach November and December?
Well, we try to keep everybody together as much as possible. So right now we'll finish up our 8 hours. We like to do one day of helmets and gloves, just skill development day. So our Monday is going to be a lift and skill development day. We'll split up both sides of the ball and just get some good footwork shooting, skeleton stuff, helmets and gloves, non-contact. Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Hour and a half?
We do about an hour and 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Tuesdays and Thursdays, same concept, but we had the pads. Everybody's together. Try to build more up into some 6-on-6, small parts, things of that nature. And then Friday is just conditioning.
Wednesday is an off day?
Wednesday we take off, and we try to lift Monday, Tuesday, and Thursdays.
That sounds like fun. That'll continue through the end of school or the start of finals.
Start of finals, yeah. So we have about a week before finals start. So when we come back, we'll have another week.
And then first day to report in January. Do you have that? Do you know what that is?
Classes start January 10th. We'll come back that Monday, the 8th.
And that's full go.
Full go. Here we go.
Well, and you have what, 3 or 4 weeks before your first or 2 weeks before a first scrimmage, and then 3 or 4 weeks before a first game?
Yeah, 2 or 3 weeks before the first scrimmage. We tried to,
Inside, outside?
Majority, the first scrimmage will be inside. First two scrimmages are inside.
So. That's in the football building?
No, we're on the road. We're going to scrimmage on the road. And then there's a local high school we jump into for a full field.
Oh, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. So it should be an exciting season. Ryan Cohen back, coach?
Yes, he is. Junior year.
He's a talented player. How would you best describe what he brings to the offense?
He's explosive. Really explosive. I think what Ryan has done in the offseason, he is he's really matured over the offseason here in the summer. Came in with a different focus, different mindset, and has developed, this mentality where it's like, whatever you guys want me to do, I'll do. So we were able to start him at attack, run him out of the midfield, do different things, bounce him around. He's an igniter for sure. He kind of sets the stage up for us. So we're excited about that.
Justin Brown is a senior now. Is that accurate?
Yeah. Yeah.
Talent.
Athletic. Athletic, streaky. Streaky and athletic. I think there are games we'll have 5 goals and we won't. And then games he'll kind of struggle a bit. But I think his fall has been in development to remain consistent. And I think that his past kind of isn't who he is today. And I think that's what's really exciting. He's really developed a little bit more consistency.
That's good. He's a fun player to watch because he can run by his man. I mean, worst case scenario, he's drawing double teams. Aiden Mulholland and Isaac Aronson, are they back in the mix?
Yes, they are. Yeah, really adding a diverse skill set. Isaac is a great communicator, great leader, one of the best pickers I've seen in college lacrosse. And then Aiden adds a little bit more of some range and some versatility in terms of what he can do off the ball. And they're both having really good falls.
And finally, a continuity within your staff, Coach. It looks like you're bringing back the same group.
Yeah, we are. Coach Wigalski's been here for 7 years with me. This is the start of seven for both of us. So that kind of comfortability has been really, really appreciative. It's consistency in the defensive end, right? The guys know what to expect every single day. They come in, they work, the same calls, the same systems that we can build off of. You know, Coach Bita comes back for his second year, which is, you know, and there's a lot of energy, a lot of excitement around Coach Bita and what he builds. The guys love playing for him. And so that's always nice. And then, but we are bringing in a new third assistant coach. Joel Tinney will be joining the staff.
Really? Oh, cool.
For this year, too.
So Joel will be a volunteer?
No, he's full-time. Full-time.
As the third now, as the third edition. So that's been approved.
There's no more volunteers in college lacrosse anymore.
Yeah. So that's approved by each institution, correct? Or by league?
It's approved by institution.
What will Joel? So Joel will work with mostly with the midfielders.
He'll work with the midfielders. He'll also work with our faceoff guys, work with our goalies. He's going to be kind of the Swiss Army knife of the staff and kind of plug and play where we can. He brings a great experience through his playing professional days and then a competitiveness and grit that I think our guys are really responding to.
Last thing, take me to Saturday, November 25th, noon kickoff, Ohio State at Michigan. It's on Fox this year with Gus and Joel Klatt. It's a game I worked three times. And I will tell you, it's like in my pantheon, you know, in my top 10 college football games, it's definitely going to be up there. It's a game that there may be equal, but there are none better in terms of a regular season rivalry game. What will your day look like? What will your day look like on that Saturday?
Well, we got to get the kids up and get going. We're going to start probably a little bit earlier. We'll get up to the parking areas roughly around probably 7:30, 8 o'clock. We'll meet up with some friends and then some alumni and things in the parking areas. We'll get the fire going. We'll get the barbecues fired up. You know, we'll do the breakfast in the parking lots. The kids will run around.
Is that a Pioneer or is that in the golf course area?
No, we're going to be down here close to our facility. So there's a lot really right here. And we kind of meet up as a staff and we kind of do it all together. And then the kids can all run around and have some fun. They use our field to kind of play some football and stuff like that. So it's really kind of a cool bonding experience. Then we have alumni come down, some friends come over, and then we head down to the stadium. There's a larger tailgate down closer to the stadium where we'll meet some athletic department people and some more alums and some friends. So, and then we'll make our way into the game.
And team members, are they invited to that second tailgate or no? Would the players do stuff on their own?
Players generally do stuff on their own because it's up to them if they're going to come back from the holiday to go to the game. Most guys do. But it's really up to them.
Will you be on the field pregame?
No, I'll be up in my seat.
So that's only for recruiting weekends.
Yeah, only for recruiting weekends.
I'm sure I could finagle
my way down there, but my kids, you know, they're going to be going to the game, and we have some family in town too. So,
well, this year sideline access will be pretty tight, I would imagine.
It will be pretty tight. It'll be pretty tight. I think I'll mind myself and I'll go up to my seats.
That's beautiful. And your family gets to sit with you.
Yeah. Yeah. The family comes in. My wife likes going to the games. The kids are still kind of gearing their way up for it. But we bought some extra tickets this year.
That's awesome. That's awesome. It's one of the great perks of working at a major athletic university.
It's really cool. You're
lucky. Yeah. Those are days that your kids won't forget.
Yeah, and just every athletic facility here and athletic team, you know, my kids actually love going to the hockey games. You know, that's the one thing I think that people don't really get, like how great college hockey is.
Yes, I covered it. I covered Michigan and the Hughes brothers. And those kids, they scrap and fight every shift for 45 seconds like nothing I've ever seen.
And the rinks, they're really intimate, these rinks. I mean, they're historic rinks, but you're really right on top of the ice and you can see everything and feel everything. The crowd energy, you know.
Yeah, the band, the crowd.
Student sections are out of control, but they're hilarious. And then, my kids obviously get fed up on hot dogs and cotton candy and they just enjoy the show.
The great product is great. There are things I'd like to borrow from college hockey, you know, in terms of everybody get the band to more games, bring the fans closer to the action, like your facility does, like Ohio State's new facility does, like Johns Hopkins has always, you know, being in these big stadiums is really not beneficial for the fan experience, but you feel it in college hockey, right? You feel the game, you hear the boards rattle and you feel it.
Yeah. It's one of the cooler parts of athletic departments. When you have a college hockey team that's good and exciting and, you know, the fans get into it.
Well, Coach Connery, I appreciate your time. Again, congratulations on last year. You guys have raised the standard, set the bar higher and put Michigan on the lacrosse map. Enjoy the end of your fall with your football team rolling. It should be exciting. I do worry about the trip to College Park, quite honestly. I think it's a little bit of a sandwich and a trap. But if they get by that, we'll certainly have our eyes on the rivalry with Ohio State. So thank you. Best to everybody in Ann Arbor.
All right. Thank you very much for having me.
That's it for this week's episode of the Quintessential Podcast. Thank you to our guests. Thanks to our technical director, Dr. Nick Z. I want to thank you for listening. And of course, thanks to our sponsor, Axia Time. A watch. What a better gift than a ring. I've got a championship ring. It's collecting dust in a box. I wear watches all the time. Thank you, Axia Time. It's axiatime.com. And we'll see you next week.